Welcome back, everybody, to another fantastic episode of the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hobbyhead Productions. I am your host, Sean, way, way, even further away. Danny, how are you, man?
I survived the natural disasters of the earthquakes that were like 150 miles away from me. Apparently, yeah. That's what I'm supposed to do on Facebook, check in that I survived so people know.
Got you. Was there anybody even concerned, though, for your safety?
I mean, even if the earthquake was epicentered under my feet, I don't think people would be that concerned.
Fair enough. I just imagine you were standing out there in your little hula dress as the earthquake went, and you started to wait, moving around. Like, whoa!
No, but actually, on the one on 4th of July, we're at the mall and buying Jody a pair of the Harry Potter Vans.
Mm-hmm. I thought she didn't like those.
They actually have like 4 styles that are new now that I hadn't seen before.
Gotcha.
They have a Dark Mark pair that are like shiny green. They're actually pretty cool, except they're like platform.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a pair for like the Elder Wand thing, that symbol, the Triforce symbol from Harry Potter.
Gotcha.
Where it's like the wand and the cloak and the other thing, the stone.
Yeah.
It shows you how much I care about Harry Potter. And then they have like a one that's like a magic spell, so it's like the little lightning bolts on the side and the front and the back kind of change color and light.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have the one that she bought was like a black pair that are like Quidditch themed, so they have a little golden snitch like across the front bottom lace that goes across, you know, the starter lace.
Yeah.
So she bought a pair of those. But anyways, we're there, she was trying them on, and like I'm like, the ground started shaking, and I saw the little, like, the shoelaces in front of me start moving. And I was like, either we're having an earthquake, or the mall train is going. And as I was thinking that thought, I looked out the front, and sure enough, the stupid mall trains that they have at every mall now was going by. And I'm like, I don't remember the train shaking the floor that bad, but that's just a weird coincidence if that's what's happening now.
Those things are always in the wrong spot at the wrong time, and they just hinder your progress to try to get through them all.
You know what, though? I figured they must be making money, right?
Probably. They're making something.
Because why would they inconvenience, like, everybody if they're not making a profit?
Yeah, you could just... I mean, it's entertaining to watch, like, the parents that have, like, died inside as they sit around in this little cramped car with their kid.
And the kid. Or even better is the one where the little brother or sister want to go on, and the older sibling absolutely does not.
Yep.
But the parent has, like... You're like, no, I did my time of babysitting, now it's your turn. And they throw the older sibling in there, and their look of death inside...
Yes.
It's even more entertaining than the parents. Because at least they had hope for a happy future. The parents have already given up on life at that point.
That is true. Oh, man. That's too funny.
So I've decided to break into my beer library.
Did you?
And get... Yes. It's a barrel-aged old ale. Brewed by a beer company that's very humble, based on their name. It's the Good Beer Company.
Good old beer. We just make beer. Good beer.
But not just beer, but good beer. So it's an 8% barrel age, but it's also brewed in collaboration with both BottleLogic and Horace Ales.
Mm-hmm.
Which Horace aged ales, I think it's like a almost like a Black Frog. Where they're only, like... And actually, it's not even like that. It's like this guy doesn't really have a brewery. He just opens up, like, in a warehouse space to sell bottles.
Gotcha.
Well, and not even sell, but you can go pick them up because you have to pre-order them online.
Mm. Nice.
But people, like looking at Untappd, it has 181 check-ins at 3.7. Mm-hmm. And when I tried it in the brewery, I gave it a 4.25 because people... think it's infected, right?
Yeah.
Because it definitely, like, it has this sour, like, it tastes like a sour, and it has this, like, a dark, like, a chocolatey cherry taste to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think, in my unprofessional opinion, would probably come from the the barrel aging and the fact that it's an old ale?
Possibly. I'm not sure what an old ale is. I've never really heard of it, so I couldn't weigh in on the subject.
So, I mean, again, my lack of my more bullshitting than knowledge. I'm sure it's just like a English thing. Old ale is a term commonly applied to dark malty beers in England, generally above 5%. Also to dark ales of any strength in Australia, or sometimes associated with stock ale, or archaically, keeping ale in which the beer is held at the brewery. So just basically, it's an ale that's dark and old.
Gotcha. So basically, name, old anything. Ale. Just a bunch of hodgepodge
pretty much,
thrown
yes.
together.
Right. But I don't know. I kind of find the sour profile and the cherries quite tasty. And everyone's like, I think it's infected, and we're giving it like 1.5 untapped stars.
Classy.
Do you have a beer, Sean, or am I... No, always keeping it classy. Or am I drinking by myself today?
No. I found a bottle of Chocolate Cherry Yeti at a beer store out here. So I picked up a bottle because I was really craving some kind of interesting stout or porter. And this is going to do. So, yep. So I'll be sipping on this bad boy today. It is by, if you don't know, it is by the Great Divide Brewery out in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah, I ended up buying one of those, and I think I just drank it on a random day.
I mean, it's pretty, for an Imperial, it's pretty smooth. Like, I have, like, really, it has, like, a really good chocolatey taste. I don't know, I'm not getting the cherries as much, but I could just be because I'm not really paying too much attention to it. But it is a 9.5, so I'll probably be pretty happy at the end of this bottle.
Definitely. And I think, like, if it's, is it at refrigerator temperature or room temperature?
Refrigerator temperature. I just pulled it out.
Right. I think as the show goes on and it warms up, people will get more of the cherry. It's a little subtle.
Got you. I mean, you could definitely tell that there's like a red hue to the beer, though. Like, it's in there.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like your pee. It's like, did I eat beets or should I go to the doctor?
Exactly. So, Danny, we're recording episode 109, and 2 weeks ago there was some kind of technical malfunction that I'm not smart enough to understand what happened. But to everybody that's out there that's listening, 108 did get reposted on 7.7, and it is you're looking for the 108 fixed episode to actually listen to the whole episode instead of 1 minute. So
yeah, it's just more than just the theme song.
Yeah, and you talking shit.
Well, I mean, that is the best part. That's the only reason that nobody listens to the show.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, and I guess that was provincial because we did miss a week anyways. So, yay. It made it seem like we didn't skip a week. We cheated.
Exactly. We double dipped. So, it's like updating the Avengers with new content and then re-releasing it.
Yes, but we added more than 6 minutes.
Yeah, we did.
Which I still want to go on YouTube and see if somebody's been a hero and posted that, because I'm not going to go pay again. They've already got enough of my money.
Exactly.
So, you know, we're talking about the beers we're drinking. But sometimes people put things on market that you shouldn't drink, Sean. And so,
like bleach?
I don't even know what exact bleach or Tide Pods. If they're not supposed to drink them, why do they look so tasteful?
Exactly.
So, internet personality. I don't even think she's a Twitch person. I think she's just an Instagram thought.
Mm-hmm. Did you say thoughts? Are you fucking, yeah. Are you in, like, fifth grade?
I read a lot of Reddit.
Jesus Christ. Why is she... All right. I'll let you finish. Why are we going to name calling?
So I'm just giving her the description that Reddit gave her.
Okay, because Reddit is always 100% correct.
Hey, except for the Boston Bomber. They got that one a little bit wrong. Just a little bit. They didn't solve that case.
Nope. Anyways, go ahead.
So, Belle Delphine, and she has, I don't know if she's a porn star, but she has a Pornhub, because she's appeared on Pornhub comments, because some 13-year-old kid, well, at least the profile picture was of a 13-year-old kid claiming to be a grown-ass man, mm-hmm. wanting to have sex with her. But anyways, she decided to take advantage of American capitalism and sell what she claims to be her bath water. And she's taking pictures of herself, like, in her diva cosplay, sitting in the bath with a little jar for $30 a piece.
Yeah, so...
And apparently, even though there's a warning that says, do not drink, somebody didn't. I guess he had to go to the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that ended up being a fake news comment.
Okay. Well, yeah. I thought it might be, but I wasn't 100% sure.
Yeah, so basically... This chick, right, wrong, or indifferent, is, you know, a social media star. So she's not a porn star. If she was going to, she said that she would create a Pornhub account if she reached a certain amount of subscribers on Instagram, I think. And she hit that goal, and then so she created an account on Pornhub, and she released a bunch of goofy videos that were, like, puns. So it was like Belle strokes two big cocks, and she had, like, two chickens in her room where she was recording. It was just, like, petting them with their clothes on. So there's, right. like, a lot of stupid puns like that. So she kind of, like... bamboozled the nerd empire, and then so that was like literally like 4 weeks ago. So Danny, you're behind on all this drama. So that was like 4 weeks ago, and then today, yeah, she's selling the water for $30.
I know that's all I know. I didn't do that much research. I'm married. I mm-hmm. didn't want to get in trouble when my search history got checked.
Yeah. Pretty much. So basically, she cosplays as different random, like, anime and video game characters on Instagram, and then, like, posts, like, you know, very provocative pictures while in those cosplays. So, like, all the nerds are, like, freaking out. And obviously, I think according to her page, she has, like, a Patreon, and you can get even, like, more exclusive content. So, obviously, she's not doing anything that's out of the norm, because she just dresses in cosplay where there's, like, you know, thousands of other girls that don't do the same thing, just not in cosplay.
Right, for the Patreon. Mm-hmm. I know this one. The anime kids call it lewd.
Yeah.
Lewds. But you know what? It's funny because on the Reddits, mm-hmm. everyone's mad at her for selling it. And I think, good for her. If she can get $30 for, like, what, a cup or a couple cups of water with mm-hmm. some soap mixed in it, I would, you know, sell it.
Yeah.
Be mad at the dudes that are paying for it.
Exactly. Like, I don't know, like, why everybody... I mean, everybody's making a big deal about it, but, I mean, at the end of the day, like, nobody's being forced to purchase these things. It was, like, some stupid item that she created that, like, that people are randomly buying because they're a bunch of creeps. Like, there's no responsibility on the creeps. It's just, like, why is this girl doing this? It's, like, I don't know, because she's smart enough to figure out that there's dumbass people out there that are sad, lonely, and will buy this.
Right, it's like when they went after... On Twitch, when they went after the boob streamers, the titty streamers,
mm-hmm.
because they were taking advantage of the poor innocent childrens, and it's like they're not that innocent. And if they're providing a service, let them make that money.
Yeah, mom, I can watch Fortnite and watch boobs. Take that.
Yeah, dude, that's like the perfect, like, junior high dream, dude. Fortnite and boobs.
Just is a new era, man. There's nobody cares about what's it called, Penthouse or any of that shit no more. They want to watch nerdy recently. Girls. Well, maybe nerdy girls. Girls that are playing video games. I don't know how nerdy they are, but we could figure that out later.
Yeah, I was at the airport recently, and I saw that they still had, like, Playboys and stuff behind, like, you know, at the airport newsstands. And it's like, who's buying Playboy to read on a plane? Like,
I've seen enough posts on Reddit that people are, like, watch porn on their iPads and shit while on the plane. there's some people that have no shame.
I know. But, you know, years ago, HBO used to have this show called Real Sex.
Mm-hmm.
And they would kind of go, like, behind the scenes in, like, the sex industry or whatever, toys and whatnot. And I saw an episode in Japan. They were selling used panties.
Oh, I remember this. This is, yeah, they sold used panties for quite a while. I remember it was kind of a big deal.
Right, but the best part was the episode I watched is it was a factory where they made the panties. And not by putting them on the ladies, because mm-hmm. I guess they knew the people that were buying the panties probably have never actually touched used panties, real panties that were used by a real woman before.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently, in their mind, the concoction that they mixed together in the crotch to make them seem like they were used was a little bit of, like, liquid from a tuna can and hot sauce.
Oh, my God. That's so gross.
And they would, like, dump a little bit of tuna in and a little bit of hot sauce and, like scrub it into the crotch and then put them in a pile and keep doing that. And then they got enough, and then they would turn around and sell them for, you know, probably $30 or $50 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they were just, like, factory-made, not free-range panties. Did I just come up with a new market? Free-range? So
free-range panties?
Free-range panties, actually, like, with a certificate of authenticity.
Oh, my God. I just imagine, you know, like, some stupid-ass commercial. Like, if you ever watch, like, any, like, commercial for guys, like, it's so, like, you know how it's, like, super over-the-top? That's how I imagine this commercial being. It's like free, like it's some, you know, random buff guy with like a beard with like some kind of like scientist outfit, like, you know, stating stupid facts about how like closed panties are like really bad to be locked away and factory produced, and there'll be like a random cutscene to like some like 1920s like factory that's all sad and black and white, just a girl like wearing, just like sitting there, and then it'll be like free range, and it'll turn into like some like crazy sex appeal thing where like girls are running through the field in just underwear,
like the old beer commercial was, where everything was sad till the guy would open the beer and everything would become happy and all the girls would strip down to their bikinis at the office.
Exactly.
That's never happened. I've only ever been fired for drinking on the job.
Oh, Danny, just say you have a problem and then your union will let you back in, right?
Right. Well, that was pre-union jobs. Yeah, I just got to, like, submit to, like, piss tests every once in a while, but I keep my job.
Yep.
But, yeah, so, you know, and I was wondering, that was one other thing I was wondering, is, like, the bathwater actually, like, does she actually sit in the bathtub, or is she just at this point, like, taking, like, a big pot of water and pouring some, like, Bath and Body Works bath wash in it, stirring it up, making the bubbles, and then ladling it into a jar and marketing it as
that's
bath
too
water?
That's too expensive. In her videos, it was just, like, water coming right off her body. It was, like, you saw it. It was just, like, here's this, like, little, like, 2-ounce jar, and here's the water ricocheting, the shower water ricocheting off her, like, her diva costume and going right into the cup. Like, there's no time for soap. That's a waste of money right there.
Going right through her trenches.
Yeah.
Her lady parts.
It's probably how she gets away with it. She's just like, don't drink it. And then on top of that, there's no added, like, chemicals or anything. It's just water.
I mean, somebody's used it for impure thought purposes, right? Like,
oh, well, of course. Of course.
They're not taking the advice of R, don't stick your dick in that. Oh, man. But we did, as I mentioned, I was at the airport and we skipped a week. So I took my, I guess, I'm not going to say annual, but my second trip to go visit friend of the show Man-Thing in upstate New York.
Man-Thing!
So, while we were up there, I ended up... Like, the goal of my purpose was to go watch the racing cars drive for a bunch of hours on a track.
You wanted to get drunk. You wanted to get in the cockpit and have them use your penis as the shifter.
Well, last year I did get to go in the cockpit, but no penis shifter because the cars are all automatic now.
That's not real racing.
They have paddle shifters.
Oh boy!
I know it's not NASCAR. They make more than left turns. But while I was out there, I did get to go check out a brewery, Mortalis Brewing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of funny because it's not quite in an industrial area like the way they are in California as far as being just like in a industrial area, but it's kind of out of the way. And so the day I went, they had a crowler release, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of cool the way they do their beer releases. Like a lot of breweries just do bottles or cans, right?
Yep.
So this brewery, they'll do one day, like on a Thursday, they'll do a crowler release. And you can go until they fill so many crowlers, and you can buy one up to, and I don't know how many, what the limit is, because people were going in there with, like, ice chests, and people were carrying crates out. And I went with Man-Thing and Mrs. Man-Thing, and that was, like, their first time experiencing, like, brewery culture, like, true brewer life outside mm-hmm. of Man-Thing listening to us talk about it, about people just going and buying far more beer than they could ever drink.
That doesn't ever happen.
But then, so then they did the, so they had the crowler release, and then the next day they actually had the can release.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were going to the racetrack, and Mrs. the Man-Thing actually was going to be in the area because she had a chiropractic appointment.
Mm-hmm.
She went to go see the witch doctor. and so she offered to go pick some up. And so she got to the brewery and she got to like experience she was my beer mule. I've never had a mule before pick me up beer.
have you ever purchased an empty bottle off eBay?
No, I have not gotten that far yet either. I don't know if I'll steep that low, but I also never thought I'd make somebody else go buy me beer either, but you know, I guess what's it called? Ethics were meant to be broken.
Exactly.
So the beer that we picked up was Gose, but it was a fruit salad Gose, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it had cherries and pineapple and orange in it, and oh man, it tasted in a good way. Like, remember like the canned fruit cocktail that we used to eat as a kid?
Mm-hmm.
It tasted just like that.
Gotcha.
Nice. It was one of those where they warned you, like, don't let it, like, drink fresh, keep cold, because it would explode.
Mm-hmm.
And so we ended up getting, like, a flight, because they also have ciders on, they have, like, guest ciders on tap.
Oh, nice.
And so we tried the cider. The cider was pretty good, but I tried it after drinking the Mortalis, so that kind of, I already had the sweetness
mm-hmm.
from that. So the cider wasn't super sweet. But then they have like a different, like a milk stout series of different cookies. And so the one that they had on tap when I went there was their Nutter Butter.
Okay, that sounds pretty good.
It was pretty good. And then they had a Moscow, like a beer, but it was a Gose, but it was like a Moscow Mule.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had an IPA, but it was a milkshake IPA, blueberry cheesecake, which is another like series they have that are different flavors.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So it was kind of weird, the hoppy, piney taste with the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't quite agree, but it wasn't completely like in disagreement. I don't know if that makes sense. It definitely was like two separate flavors on my tongue, though. Like I could definitely like notice the differences.
No, I got what you're saying. That's fair.
But yeah, I mean, it was pretty good. And then, you know, I bought a bunch of beers to take. I stopped at the Atlanta airport. I had a local Atlanta beer from Terrapin Beer Company called Hopsecutioner.
Wait, so you went from New York to Atlanta to back to L.A.?
That was my layover, yes.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
Well, I flew Delta, and Delta, like, Delta's major hub is Atlanta, so.
Mm, that's fair.
And then at the racetrack, I had a couple sours, but it was pretty fun trying different beers, especially I tried to drink local beers, except it was hard to find canned stuff, so I ended up getting a I tried a couple local stouts. One of them was like breakfast with Winston Churchill oatmeal coffee stout.
Ooh, that sounds fantastic.
It was, and then another one was from a brewery called Southern Tier. It was a s'mores stout on nitro, which you could really taste like the graham cracker and the marshmallows in that.
Oh, nice. I think, like, drinking on nitro, like, I don't know if I could get, like, I'm, like, on the fence on nitro. Like, I just can't get into it, like, 100%. Like, one of my buddies is super into it, but to me, like, the nitro, like, I almost say it feels more filling, like, as you're drinking it.
Right, it definitely is. And the worst part about it is you need a cup. And so I had forgot to, I didn't have a cup on Sunday morning. It was when I had the Winston Churchill one from War Horse Brewing. And I had bought a Dunkin' Donuts iced coffee that morning. So I just poured my coffee beer into my Dunkin' Donuts coffee cup.
That doesn't sound like an alcoholic at all.
No, I was just drinking my coffee all day. Coffee beer in a coffee cup just looks like coffee, Sean.
Fair enough.
So, I know you're living the Bon Jovi life, Sean. Have you? And you've gone to some local breweries out there.
I have. Did I talk about Spellbound last time? I don't remember.
That was a long time ago.
It was too far.
Too far, yes.
So I have been doing a little bit of traveling, and in my traveling, I've been trying to explore the beer scene, because that is the most important scene in anywhere you travel, right?
Exactly.
So in case I forgot about it, so I went to Spellbound Brewing. They have a peach IPA that was really fantastic. I only had two beers there because obviously when you drink by yourself, you're also your DD, unless you decide to Uber it up, but I did not.
I was going to say, you know, according to The Simpsons, drinking with God does count. But I've also learned from the internet, Jesus can't drive, so him taking the wheel doesn't count.
Exactly. So I had the peach IPA from Spellbound a few weeks ago. It was super good. But the one I would really want to talk about is Living the Dream Bourbon Barrel Imperial Stout. Danny, I've never had an Imperial Stout that tasted so smooth. Like, this was, I think it was like between 10 and 12% ABV. But, like, you know how sometimes when you have an Imperial Stout, you get, like, a certain, like, flavor, like, aftertaste to it?
Yes, yes. The Imperial. It's like they're invading your taste buds.
Mm-hmm. It was non-existent. It had no burn, no aftertaste. It was just that creamy, dark taste on the front, and there was like nothing on the back. And they did an anniversary. They used this as their anniversary beer. Must have been like last month. And they had it on they aged it in maple barrels. I couldn't get any. I was so sad because I could only imagine what this beer would taste like with some beautiful maple barrels on there.
So, I mean, I'm taking from your statement that you like beers that are maple syrup aged.
Maybe. I mean, I do like the I think I've had two other – I've only had two maple beers, and that was the Founders, CBS, and I had one from Canada that was also maple. I don't know. I just feel like it's very obvious that it was from Canada.
You know what would be great? If I was a brewery in Canada and I made, like, just a super, like – ass-kicking strong beer.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the brewery when they made their 22% beer.
Mm-hmm.
I would just go strong and acknowledge the stereotype and call my beer No Apologies.
Fair enough. I think it was like Flying Monkey. The bottle comes like in a green box, and the green box is like decorated with all sorts of crazy shit on it. So that one was... That one was super good. More recently, on 4th of July, I went to Forgotten Boardwalk. They have a fantastic logo. It's like some kind of psychic cat. But I had their Mexican coffee funnel cake cream ale. It was so good, Danny. Like, I ended up buying a 4-pack of it because, like, I couldn't put it down. I needed it in my life. I just thought it was super good, and it was, like, had a nice coffee, a sweet coffee taste. I don't know if I would call it funnel cake tasting, but it was, like, a sweet coffee cream ale. So I thought I really liked it. And then I had a wit beer, but I didn't realize that it was a Belgian wit beer, and so I didn't rate them on it because somebody was a dumbass and didn't read the whole description, so I didn't think they should get negative points because I didn't pay attention to what I was doing.
Right, and there's actually a Instagram page, Untapped WTF, and it kind of calls out people where it's like, I hate. Like, you know, that it's like, I hate Belgian beers, like, one star, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, though, like, there's certain beer styles that I want to try just to see maybe I've, like, my palate has grown to maybe I will appreciate them, mm-hmm. like certain IPAs, and I'll try it, and it's like, oh, this is super hoppy. But I also know that that's what they're supposed to taste like, so I guess I can, the difference, like, being able to give it an objective review as opposed to, you know?
Yeah, because, like, if you have a Belgian beer, you're going to get a Belgian yeast, and it comes off a certain profile. And I, as many times as I've tried, I cannot stand that flavor profile. So, like, I don't drink it. I have no beef against people that like to drink it, but I'm not going to, like, rate something that I know I don't like. Like, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't mean that it's a bad beer. It's just I don't like that flavor profile.
Right, but at the same time, though, like if you drink that and you're like, wow, that tastes exactly what it's supposed to taste like, and I don't like it, you're like, but I have to give it a good rating because it did its job, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
It's like those memes on Reddit where somebody, it's like the two guys are talking and one guy says something and the other guy gets mad and then he's like, fuck, fine, here's your upvote.
Gotcha. Yeah, exactly. Like,
I'm not happy with what you said, but you're right.
And so I went to two more breweries on Saturday, on 7-6. I went to Flying Fish Brewing Company. The only reason I went there is because I had one of their summer gozes, which was a strawberry lime goze. It was a pretty interesting flavor profile, as like you had the sweet strawberries and the lime. I found it at the grocery store, so I decided to go check this out. So the first beer I had was the Blueberry Braggot, or Exit 3. It was a honey ale, and a strong honey ale, because it came in at 15% ABV. But I mean, Danny, I mean, it, like, as much as like honey ale like is like a really certain flavor, but you could not tell, like, it wasn't harsh at all. It was very easy to drink. The blueberry helped, I think, kind of give it like a sweet and sour taste as well, but you definitely got, like, when you were drinking the honey ale, you didn't get like a dry taste like in mead. You got like a honey taste in there. So that one was really good. And then I had the XPA Citra Pale Ale. If you don't know Citra, if you smell the Citra hops, like, they have a incredible smell to it. It smells very citrusy, and it has a very pungent, like, smell to it. Like, usually when I smell an IPA, Danny, I know if there's Citra in it because it's that obvious. Like, the smell is so easy to detect.
Right. It's like a very... I was just gonna say, it's a very noticeable profile if you know if you read their Citra in it, you know it's gonna have a certain smell, a certain taste, or else it's failed its job.
Yeah, basically. Like, so, the pale ale was super fantastic. It had a really good citrus taste to it, so I was really, really happy about that. I went to Tonewood Brewing, which is a newer brewery out here as well, and I had their Imperial New England IPA, which was really good. I was hoping to have some more beer, but the place was just way too packed, and because it's summertime and it was pouring rain and they had the doors open, it started to get like really humid, and I was just like, well, I'm not trying to ruin my afternoon by sitting in this cramped building, so I took off. But it was actually pretty good. I would actually go back, so when it was a little bit quieter, to like try some more of their stuff that they have on tap. So, I mean, overall, though, Danny, I mean, the beer scene out here has been fantastic.
Well, I know you're, like, closer to, like, Philadelphia than New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's a lot of, like, pretty decent breweries in Philadelphia, and I know there's a couple that are, like, kind of how Bottle Logic is out here, where it's sought after on a national level.
Mm-hmm. Well, the funny thing is all the breweries that I've been to have been all on the New Jersey side. I've not even been to Pennsylvania, any on the Pennsylvania side.
Right, but I'm sure there's like the influence for people like that in New Jersey, where they're like, wait, why are we driving to Philadelphia or Pennsylvania when we can just build breweries here?
Exactly. I think I believe New Jersey has probably better brewery laws as well than Pennsylvania, I think.
Yeah, Pennsylvania is one of those where like you have to go to like the state stores to buy liquor and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And which is funny because in New York, like New York is as liberal, if not more liberal. Like, they're competing for who's the most liberal state between California and New York.
And Colorado.
Yes. But, and I don't know if it's, like, in the city, because we didn't really go to grocery stores in the city, but you can't buy liquor in the grocery stores, and the liquor stores, you can't buy beer. Hmm. Like, you can only buy, like, there's a Wegmans, which is their local store.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the same shopping center, there's a liquor store. So, like, at the Wegmans, they have beer, but the liquor store, you can only buy booze.
Yeah, I notice in New Jersey when I go to a grocery store to pick up, like, water and stuff, so their grocery store has a liquor section and a beer section, and the beer is not limited by the alcohol content because they had Stone on the shelves. So if Stone is on the show, I know Stone isn't going to put out some bullshit 4% beer because of laws.
Right. They're not sold in Utah, basically.
Exactly. So it is interesting because I definitely agree. Like, it is weird going into a place and not being able to get what you need. And I think in Colorado, I don't know if the rules have changed, but I think Colorado had some strict rules, and I think that they're slowly kind of getting out of that way as well.
Prohibition? Slowly getting out of the 1920s?
Exactly. I don't know. It's hard to say, but maybe they just don't change the laws because it's not important enough. But I think – I know for the most part, like a lot of – you have to get hard alcohol from a liquor store and not at the grocery store.
Right, and I know Texas is another one of those where the craft beer industry is trying to fight so that they can, like, actually sell beer from their brewery. Like, because they could brew it, and I think they could sell it, like, to go, but they couldn't sell it to drink there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they either got that changed or were fighting to get it changed. But, of course, InBev was fighting to keep it that way because that's just one less level of competition.
Exactly. Those bastards. Monsters.
So, Sean, you posed a question in our group chat that we have for the if an anime character is watching hentai, is that just regular porn, or do they also have a term for it?
I thought it was just watching porn. I didn't really ask the question. I just thought it was a really funny.
Well, I didn't say you asked. Post. You posed the question. I posted it. Yes, it was pretty funny. And my point was, is if their private parts look like the Minecraft game, then it's probably hentai. But if they look normal, then it's porn.
I think somebody in another chat said it depends if it's blurry or not. Or was that what you said?
That's what I said. Well, I said if it looks like Minecraft.
Oh yeah.
Or The Sims.
Mm-hmm. Who knows? I think it's one of those mysteries that will go on for a long time, debated by better scholars than ourselves.
much better, yes.
But with all this traveling, I've actually started watching anime again because, like, you need something to do in the plane while you're traveling around, right?
Oh, I thought you were going to say while you were jerking off. It'll make that kid next to you definitely stop crying. Or start crying, I guess.
Oh, man. You're a bad person.
I am a horrible human being, yes.
So I've been watching quite a bit of anime. I finished a while ago Gate. We may have talked about it, but, you know, it's a... Modern day Japan ends up having a random portal show up into their world, and they get invaded. So it's kind of sad because, like, all these medieval people come and start killing people. But once, like, the Japanese army, like, gets their shit together and gets organized, like, they just, like, destroy everything. Like, they go to the other, and then they end up going into the other world to block the gate from them invading again. And it's just, like, a kind of a goofy story about this guy that's trying to, like, build the relationships between their world and this world and his world. And it's kind of funny, at the end of the day, he's just, like, a giant anime nerd, and the only reason he works is so he have money to go to the convention. And, of course, like, when the invasion started, it was, like, the first day of the major convention, so he was getting revenge because they canceled it. my favorite one that I watched recently is called Armed Girls. I don't even know if I could even say this. Machiavellism?
Machiavellism?
Something like that. But basically, it's about, you know, these five girls that, like, run the school, and this guy comes in and he uses, like, his fist as, like, almost like swords. And so I guess he also has, like, the power to, like, shoot a spirit bullet out of his finger. Again, this is anime, so who knows what's going on. But,
he has the power of fisting.
Yeah. So you find out he gets, like, knocked out by this crazy chick, and then he, like, ends up transferring schools, but... In the end circumstance, she transferred, like, literally a month before there, and he wants to leave the school, and so to leave the school, he has to get a stamp by each of these five girls, and he ends up, like, beating them, and then, like, all the girls have, like, you know, a crush on him, of course, like, after he outswords them and whatnot, and then it's just kind of, it's a mix between actually having a decent story and being lighthearted and pretty funny. And the other, my last one is, of course, it's one of the fun ones. My mental choices are completely interfering with my school romantic comedy. And so it's basically about this kid who ends up getting stuck. Like, this alternate being makes him just choose A or B. And so he has to choose, and he has to say or do what's in either option A or option B. And if he doesn't, he gets like electrocuted zap to, like, the head, to where, like, if he fights it off, he gets worse and worse and worse until he gives in and does it. So he's like pushed to the side as some crazy kid because it makes him do, like, really stupid things. The story ended up being a little bit predictable with where it was going and, like, the outcome. Like, I wasn't really surprised. So although it had some good laughs, it was probably my least favorite one out of the three.
Well, because there was no harem?
I mean, there was girls that liked him. Like, it was still kind of like a semi-harem. It just ended up being, like the... The story was just, like, way too predictable on where it was going, and it just, I don't know, it just didn't conclude as well as it could have.
Okay, that makes sense. As far as, I was just giving you a hard time, because you love your harem animes.
I do. And I am watching a couple more, so I'm sure we'll have another update in a few weeks.
Right. Oh, man. So, you know, we talked about the whole Belle Delphine water drama causing the internet to explode, Sean.
The internet has been really triggered lately.
Super triggered. More triggered than the fault lines in California. So, they've been announcing the casting for the live-action Ariel movie. They announced that Melissa McCarthy is going to be, or McCarthy is going to be Ursula.
Mm-hmm.
And they announced a few other choice cast members, and I think my favorite announcement is this singer slash actress Awkwafina, who is in the movie Crazy Rich Asians, who she basically stole the movie for me. Like, she was my favorite character in that movie.
Yeah.
Just like, she was like the psycho best friend.
Oh, nice.
Like, there's a part where, like, because like, they went to school together and then she moved back home, and the guy the main character was dating wanted to go back to the same country to visit his family, and then she's like, well, I'm gonna go visit my friend because she's here.
Yeah.
And so the friend was gonna like drop her off at the guy's house, and they're like, they found out who she was dating was like one of the richest families in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And Ken Yeong plays her dad, right?
Yeah.
And so they're basically just bad-mouthing the girl, the main character, but then they show up and the guy's like, hey, do you want, since you're here, do you want to come in and eat? And she's just dressed in like normal street clothes. And she was like, yeah. And so she goes to her, the trunk of her car, and she has like 8 different outfits. And she's like, you have party dresses? You have like party dresses in your car? And she's like, I'm not an animal. So she got cast as the bird. Right? I can't remember the name of the bird. But the, her little bird sidekick.
Wait, but isn't... It's a guy though, isn't it?
In this, well...
Yeah, I get it.
You know. And so they cast the one, the main thing that's causing the internet to explode is they cast a black actress to play Ariel.
I'm actually more upset about the other two castings than the black Ariel at this point.
No, Awkwafina is the best choice.
Whatever, man. I guess we'll go with it. I'm not having faith with,
you haven't seen,
I have not seen it. I'm not saying that she's not funny, but I mean, it's just, it is what it is.
It is what it is, yeah. So, you know, the best part, you know, is watching the people trying to justify that they're not racist for being upset that Ariel is black. So anywhere from, well, she's not going to have red hair, it's important that she has red hair, to, you know, like, basically, she's the reason why redheads stopped being bullied, and it's like, I don't think redheads have ever stopped being bullied. I think gingers is definitely one of the last acceptable things you can be racist against.
I was going to say, I heard a lot of redhead picking, and it's been a long time since The Mermaid came out.
Well, unless, like, redheads, like, being made fun of went away until South Park started it back up again.
Probably.
And then somebody else was talking about where, like, Atlantis was located. Like, it was off the coast of, like, Greece or something like that, and there's no black people that live in Greece, so they would have been a part of that group. And they're like, no, it's off the coast of Africa. No, it's off the coast of New Zealand or Australia, and the Aborigines are dark-skinned. And then, or it's from the fact that, you know, mermaids live underwater, and so they can't get dark skin. They have pasty white skin.
I mean, they would also have webbed fingers, and they would look really creepy.
Right, I think the only movie that really got, like, what mermaids are supposed to be right, and of all the things they didn't do right, would have been Pirates of the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, they got lured to the shore by these beautiful mermaids that turned into horrible monsters that dragged them in underwater and killed them and ate them.
Yeah. Exactly. They were always actually... Mermaids are always been predicted as being monsters, more or less, you know, like,
not like the Little Mermaid or Daryl Hannah in Splash.
Yeah, I mean, they're always like singing to like attract people, and then they get pulled down and murdered. Like it's like an illusion.
Right. So the only things they haven't, major roles they haven't cast yet, is King Triton and the Prince.
Okay, interesting. I wonder what they'll go with.
I don't know. And I don't know if they've cast them, they just haven't announced yet. Like, they're waiting for the internet to settle down. or if they just haven't cast them. But the one thing about her, like her and her, she has a sister and they're both part of a singing group, an R&B group, Halle and Chloe. Mm-hmm. Oh, and the funny thing is her name is Halle Bailey. Halle Bailey. And like, even I, like reading it the first time, and apparently the rest of the internet too, thought it was Halle Berry.
Yeah, when I was trying to research this part, I saw an article saying where Halle Berry came out and was like, no, it's not me, it's this person.
Right, and if you even Google like her name, on Google, it'll like, people also search for, and it's like the first one is her sister, Chloe, and the second one is Halle Berry.
That's pretty funny. And it's
like, yes, they are two different people.
Mm-hmm.
But so my point is she meets the most important requirement is she can sing. Like that Little Mermaid needs to be able to sing.
That is right? True. That is important.
So, I mean, it would suck if they just cast somebody. Because somebody put up one of the Jenners, like Caitlyn Jenner or Bruce, like one of the Kardashians or Jenners or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody replied, no, there's already enough plastic in the ocean.
Are the live action Disney movies even making money?
Well, they must be because they keep making them.
Well, they're in early productions, but like,
No.
Did Aladdin like bomb or did it do well? I mean, Lion King is coming up.
I don't think Aladdin did that well, but it was weird. That was that couple week span where like four or five movies came out and none of them did well. So I don't know if it was just a string of like movies that nobody wanted to see. Because The Men in Black didn't do well.
Yeah.
X-Men didn't do well. And they all came out like around like within a week of each other.
Yeah. I wanted to go see X-Men. Like I legit was like, I'm going to the movies tomorrow or yesterday. And X-Men was already pulled from the theater. I was like, oh, okay. I guess I'm not going to go see it.
Right. I wanted to go see. The one I wanted to see was Men in Black. And people are like, well, it's a reboot. And it's like, no, it's a sequel. They're not trying to change anything. They're just, they couldn't get Will Smith to do it anymore. And I'm sure Tommy Lee Jones sure as hell didn't want to do it anymore. So they wanted to tell a story and they had to get new actors.
Yeah. I don't know. I just wasn't very interested in the Men in Black. It just looked like too much of a stretch. Like, it didn't even look that funny. Like, they just took like, hey, let's just take this big name actor from Avengers and throw him randomly in here to be like a pretty tomboy,
actually had two actors from the Marvel movies.
Why?
Because the actress, the sidekick,
mm-hmm.
or partner or whatever, she plays Valkyrie in the Thor movies and Avengers. Really? Also
nice.
Yes, so it's Thor and Valkyrie partnering up to chase aliens as opposed to Avengers, where Thor and Valkyrie came up to kill an alien.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Ironic.
Yes. So, but we both actually went unplanned to go see a movie the same day, just on the other side of the world, Sean.
Spooderman does whatever a Spooderman does.
Yes. So we both saw Far From Home. And before we kind of get into our review, first, one thing, we're going to spoil things, so that's why we put it at near the end. So you can either continue listening if you've seen the movie or don't care, or you can stop now, go watch Spooderman, and then come and listen.
True.
Because there's some shit that went down that I want to talk about with you, Sean.
Oh, boy. Danny is triggered.
I'm not triggered. I was like in shock. I was kind of shocked that they would go where they're going, and there's multiple things they could do. But the other thing is, there was an interview before, and I think it's funny when, you know, celebrities or athletes do interviews and they get asked a super loaded leading question,
mm-hmm.
and then they answer it in a way that they almost have to, and then the media like takes it, the answer, and spins it in multiple different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what the exact question was, but Tom Holland answered a question about the possibility of Spider-Man being gay, and I think his answer was, I don't have a problem with Spider-Man being gay. Like, I wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
Right?
Breaking news. Spider-Man is gay. He loves fat. And he loves his fat friend instead of Mary Jane, who's also not a redhead because now Disney is against redheads. That's the new breaking news.
And I don't think her name is Mary Jane. I forgot what her name is.
It's MJ.
But it's MJ, but it's something else. But yeah, so But it was funny because he was like, yeah, I'd have no problem with Spider-Man being gay. And people, the headlines were like, Tom Holland wants Spider-Man to be gay. And it's like, that's not what he said at all. So anyways, what did you think of the movie, Sean?
I actually really liked the movie. It was well thought out. I was actually like watching it and I was kind of like, oh, Mysterio, he's not even naming himself Mysterio. Oh, he's from another world and he has powers. Like halfway through the movie, I was like, I really am starting to hate this movie because this makes no sense and it's not anything along the comics. And then mind blown, like everything is a fucking scam, and I was like, oh my god, I got tricked and I love this movie,
right? Like Jody, I had told Jody before, like after the first Spider-Man Tom mm-hmm. Holland movie came out, I explained who the Sinister Six was.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie, I guess she had forgot the conversation. Well, she like started questioning herself because she, like you said, they don't do what the comics do. So she was like, and that's what I love about the MCU is they changed enough to leave us questioning, but not in a bad way.
Yeah.
Right? Like if you had patience, you didn't walk out. Cause I'm sure there was people that would have just fucked this movie. Mysterio's not a good guy. I walked out after 30 minutes. This movie sucks. As opposed to like watching the whole movie and letting the story unfold.
Yeah. Like, yeah, because I was like, where is this movie going? Because I was like, okay, he's like, all right, they killed everything. Like, okay, whatever. And, like, they even drop, like, a clue, but you don't really understand it. It's just kind of, like, a weird thing that happens that, like, even, like, you know, Parker shrugs off. I shrugged off. I was like, okay, I guess that's kind of weird. Like, I didn't really even think about it, but it was a hint at where it was going. And then it was like, oh, my God, you're just like... And then the twist kind of unfolds and, you know, Mysterio is actually being Mysterio, and the whole, it was so beautifully portrayed and laid out. And was his name Jake
Gyllenhaal?
Yeah, dude, he does a fantastic job. Like, he like suckers you in on being such a great person and a noble person, and then like you find out like he cripples and he's like this psychotic like person.
Right, and you know the best part about the casting is that for the original Spider-Man movies, he was one of the final candidates to be cast as Peter Parker. Mm-hmm. Instead it went to Tobey Maguire.
Yeah.
Oh, and Zendaya's character's name is Michelle.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, for MJ?
Yes. I don't know what the J stands for, but it's Michelle.
Oh,
I forget.
Gotcha.
But yeah, like, the fact that, you know, and Marvel is going more than doing the different thing than DC is, where they want everything to be explainable and realistic. So the fact that, you know, he was working with a team of people that were burned from Stark Industries, like the fact that, like, when they introduced the characters, a handful of them, like, mm-hmm. and they showed them, they were like the dude that Obadiah like fucking rips into in Iron Man 1, where it's like, Tony Stark built this in a cave.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. That dude there and a couple other people, like, from other, like, Iron Man movies. So yeah. It's like, holy shit, this makes so much sense.
Exactly, dude. And then where Mysterio just lays the fucking smackdown on Spider-Man in Berlin. Oh, my God, it was so fantastic. Like, it was, like, everything you want because, like, if you remember, Mysterio was just so good at manipulating and attacking your, like, your personal points that it made it like really hard to like focus on like Mysterio because he would like attack you where you like were vulnerable.
And right. Then, like, and it looked so realistic. Like they did such a good job in the movie to where even like as the viewer, you didn't know what to believe.
Exactly. Like you couldn't predict like what was going to happen. Like you were like, you were totally vulnerable like Spider-Man was.
And like I said, they changed enough from the comics to the movies to where somebody who's read the comics, they could have had Mysterio's origins and everything memorized, and they still would have been like, I have no idea what's going on. And I'm sure people, like you said, you were confused and almost like angry, but you sat through, and I'm sure some people might have walked out or dismissed the movie mm-hmm. as being, you know, not true to the comics or for the fake fans.
Mm-hmm. I get it. Like, they weren't, like, crazy. They weren't, like, the old 90s cubes. But, like, that doesn't even make sense. Like that doesn't even work. Like it was a much updated, modern approach to the whole visual concepts of the displays. Like, it was way a lot better. Like, I like it. I liked how they sold it.
Right. I think this definitely ranks up there with my favorite Marvel movies, for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, it made you feel like the whole, like, you know, they didn't go overboard, but they definitely reminded you that Tony Stark was a major influence in his life, not just superheroes wise, but personal. And that, you know, they start that the intro where they kind of started off like the high school, like the it was like the high school audio video club with Betty Brant and that other dude, and it was like In Memoriam, and they had like the people from that died during the battle fighting Thanos.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked over and I saw my wife Jody. She was like, her bottom lip was starting to quiver and she was getting a little tear emotional, and I'm sure she probably wasn't the only one.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like it went from being sad to being like funny, which is what Marvel does best.
Yeah, that is true. As much as, like, you know, I want to see DC succeed, they just cannot replicate what Marvel has really done. Now, if only we could get fucking Doctor Doom to be such, like, stop being such an eyesore.
Right? Oh, and so, God. The end of the movie. They revealed Peter Parker's identity. And J. Jonah Jameson got his wish of him being... And they brought back the original Simmons, J.K. Mm-hmm. Simmons.
Yes.
Which I think, like...
He's the only one that can
play that role. Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Like, that's the one thing that they carried over from the original Tobey Maguire movies is him as J. Jonah Jameson. Like, he owns that role.
I know he totally does, though. Like, he fits. Like, that's him. That's him.
So he got his like wish that he's so. They ended that movie on the biggest cliffhanger ever.
Oh, I know. And the problem is like, I don't even know what the next Marvel movie is, like, at this point.
The only one I know that's filming is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, it leaves so many questions. Like, I feel like we're going to go, like, years without an answer on what's going on.
Right. Oh, and the other thing that they did, they showed a lot in the trailer, and they, like, hyped it up so much that I'm not even at all surprised that it's nothing. But the whole the multiverse thing, because everyone's like, oh my God, they're bringing the multiverse in and they're making Miles Morales real and they're doing this and they're doing that.
Suckers.
It was all a con. That was amazing.
It was a fucking con. I know it was. It was so funny. Ugh.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's just such a fantastic movie. Like, it literally is super good. Like, this Spider-Man is way better than the Tobey Maguire one and the other one, who I already forgot even who the hell it is.
It's not Jake. It's Andrew Garfield.
Yeah. And I don't even think Andrew did a bad job. I think it was just, like, Sony not, you know, for whatever reason, Marvel Studios... for the most part, gets shit done right.
Well, the problem is like, in the past, Sony's, like, kind of put their nose in a little too much. Because, like, the Sam Raimi Spider-Man were good, but then when it came to the third movie, he wanted Sandman and they wanted Venom, and so that's why they're both in there.
Yeah.
But, the other thing I liked about this movie is they got, like, the teenage awkwardness down of him... trying to be like the superhero, him trying to be a good student and wanting to be a kid and him having a crush on MJ.
Like, dude, that's like the biggest thing though, is like, that's Spider-Man. Like, Spider-Man is about a teenager trying to be an adult, trying to be like this responsible hero and kind of failing at it, trying to have like a normal life and failing at it. Like, that is what made Spider-Man so amazing to read and to watch. Like, even like the old 90s cartoon, like, even though he was like in college per se, he at least they captured his struggle to be like, he got irritated at being Spider-Man. Like, you showed the like a true perspective on
he superhero. Acted like a teenager.
Exactly.
And then there's one thing that I liked about the trailers that they showed. because there was a scene, that scene with the cops in the trailer, mm-hmm. where like Spider-Man breaks up the robbery and he's like, hey, I'm going on vacation. Who's going to do your job while I'm gone, kind of a thing. That wasn't in the movie at all.
Yep.
But then some of the scenes that they showed in the trailers were like in the last half hour of the movie.
Yeah.
Did you stay until the end?
Because
it was the second scene.
I thought I did. I forgot what it was, though.
It was involving a scene involving Nick Fury and Maria Hill.
Oh yeah, I did see that.
So they're setting up, potentially setting up the Deal with the Devil, right?
Mm-hmm.
Series where, like in the comics, Mary Jane and Spider-Man are married, but Sinister Six finds his identity and goes to his house and kills Aunt May,
mm-hmm.
right? And yeah. So he makes a deal with the devil, basically, to go back in time, but he never gets married to Mary Jane, but he saves Aunt May's life.
Interesting.
Right? So that's, like, they're kind of setting up for that. The fact that at the end, it was revealed that Nick Fury and Maria Hill were Skrulls. Like, Secret Invasion, maybe? I don't know, because they're setting up the Skrulls to be good guys, but I don't know where they could go with that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where they're going. It's so open right now because there's nothing, like, going on. It's very tough. It's very tough to understand what's next.
Right, and by the time this is released, it'll be Comic-Con weekend.
Mm.
So hopefully, and I don't know if Marvel has a panel that weekend or if they went full Sony and are just bailing on that. Like Sony did at E3, you know what I'm saying? Like, because they don't have anything.
Is Disney having their con this year?
Is it this year or is it next year?
I don't know.
I think it's this year. Maybe it is this year, because I think it's like a couple weeks after Comic-Con. So maybe they'll do something there. But
yeah.
They have to announce something. Like, after Infinity War, Kevin Feige came out and said basically, not necessarily that they're on hiatus, but they're just kind of letting the dust settle, and I thought that was because they're trying to figure out how to fix the Fox properties in. And I thought maybe that's why they added the extra time to the Avengers movie, but I haven't heard or seen anything about that yet.
I don't know. It's a good question.
Oh, man. So, I'm like watching that movie, I was just like, my favorite movie and my like least favorite movie. Now I know how people feel at the end of Empire Strikes Back, and you had to wait 2 years before you saw Return of the Jedi.
True. I don't know, man. I really don't know what to expect from the Marvel Universe now.
And I'm not scared or apprehensive like I am with the DC shit.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, the sad thing is, like, the thing I'm looking forward to most from the DC movie universe is they're doing a Teen Titans Go animated crossover movie.
Mm.
And after Teen Titans Go to the movies, as amazing that was, I am really looking forward to that one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I do want to see the live action Teen Titans, because I've heard like it was going to be a little bit more on the darker side. So I don't know. And we'll see what happens. I mean, I think DC is like almost at a breaking point as well. So it feels weird for like all like superhero movies. Like there's like going to be like this weird lull.
Right. like the only thing coming out, like you said, DC is doing their TV shows. Like they're doing the Young Justice.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming up in a couple months, the Batwoman show comes on. Yeah, there's nothing really going on from Marvel because like they haven't even announced a release date for Guardians 3. Like they've just barely started filming that.
Yeah, exactly. Like there's like no superhero movies like forever.
So I guess the people that were complaining about superhero burnout are getting their reprieve that they need, apparently.
You got your fucking wish.
Yes.
Now we'll have nothing good to look forward to except The Boys on Amazon.
Yes.
I'm not even supposed to say that word at work.
The Boys? Devil.
Amazon.
Or Amazon. Oh. Well, it's like they're I'm not allowed devil. To say Walmart at work because the union will like punch us in the dick.
That makes no sense.
What, the punching in the dick or the fact the union doesn't even want us to say it?
That you can't say Walmart.
Well, because they're super anti-union.
Mm.
That's why.
Mm.
Like, like hardcore anti-union, to where like they've had departments try to unionize and they just shut that department down in that country. Like meat cutters in Canada tried to unionize and they're like, yeah, it's cool, we don't need meat cutters anymore, we'll just outsource it. And they eliminated all those jobs.
Nice.
Yes. So, it's another successful week of recording.
Hopefully. Keep listening. Yes. Make sure you keep listening. I know hopefully I'll have a review on Far Cry 5, a couple more animes, maybe even some more breweries come next week.
Yes, and I'm actually had to re-log back in to my Xbox One, so I'm playing a couple games over there.
What?
Yes, and maybe if I have time, I'll also play my anime titty game too and give a review of that.
Whoa, Danny, that sounds like you have too much going on.
Yes, but I've already played a little bit of one of the games to give a good review on, so I don't really have too much, but maybe I can play the anime titty game and give enough of a give a week on that.
Fair enough. Make sure you follow us on Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all those other favorite places. If you are not on Untappd, you could follow Danny and I on Untappd, as I think Danny does a much better job at posting all the beer places he goes, but I'm trying to get into the habit of it. You could see what we're drinking when we're out on the prowl, and hopefully maybe you'll find it at a local store near you. Or if you go to travel that area, at least you'll have a heads up on what good beers to try.
Right, and those names are, Sean?
Fuck if I know.
yeah, that would be helpful, because you can just like follow us on Untappd. Okay, so what do they look? So for the official podcast one that I'm in control of, you can find us under Sir Hoppyhead, two words, S-I-R, and then Hoppyhead, one word. And just Sean.
Just look for me, Sean B, motherfucker.
Dr. Doom 2828.
Oh, that's my profile name.
Yes, I figured that was you when I saw the Dr. Doom. There was like 800 Sean Barones and you didn't have a profile picture, but I saw the Dr. Doom and I figured that's your gay ass.
Maybe. I will tell you I'm done with my bottle of beer.
Sweet. You're definitely feeling good. All right, everybody.
We'll catch you
follow
next week.
Follow us on the Instagrams and we'll see you next time.
Later.